Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, want to bring you this testing and refuting of a sermon from Finney Kuravilla from Followers of the Way out in Boston. And I have a large testing up on them. He's the founder of Sattler College in Boston. And you can go at don'tperish.com, look at our Unbiblical Teachers page, or just go on the internet and Google Sattler College Exposed, Followers of the Way Boston Exposed. My testing comes up on the first page. Have many, many unbiblical issues with them. Today, I want to focus on the gospel confusion of Followers of the Way in Boston. Now, you're going to hear some words from Finney. And this is in November of 2020. He did a sermon on the Assurance of Salvation Part 2. And he actually covers the gospel pretty well in this sermon, which is surprising to me because we do not agree on what the biblical gospel is. So I want to bring up some questions. And the reason this is a question is, going back several years ago, Matthew Miliani, Finney's so-called apostle brother, when I emailed him on Facebook and even on email, messaged him on Facebook and emailed him, he had told me, and I'm going to read you word for word what he said, that the gospel is not Christ crucified, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But what you're going to hear in this sermon is you're going to hear Finney say what the gospel is. So I just want to raise this to show you the confusion. I don't know if they're tweaking the word to try and become more biblical, or I don't know if they're trying to deceive people. I did reach out to Matthew recently, November 2020, and he doubled down on the same gospel message, and then he attacked me for my pre-Christ divorce, which is another one of their heretical stances. They ignore all sin. Many sins, as long as it's not divorce and remarriage. They're a bunch of heretics. But we're going to go through this sermon. I'm going to share with you Finney's words, and then I'm going to read to you, quote, from Matthew Miliani, a wicked, vile man, by the way, not a man that has the Spirit of God or the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want it to be known. I want people to know what a confusing message they have for the gospel. And so let's get right to it. We'll use their own words, and then you decide and rightly divide it.
That we are living in a period of insanity, spiritual insanity, where we're not thinking about just the most basic things, things that are black and white, so clear, and people are willing to jeopardize their soul. You know.
Yeah, I would agree with what Finney said there, and many of the things you'll see on the testing are exactly that, things that are so clear. They're ecumenical. They have a false gospel, or at least they did, and now it seems like Finney's changing his gospel. That's confusing because no one's come forward and said, hey, we repent of that past gospel, now we're getting this gospel right. Their biblical dress is wrong for men. In many cases, it's wrong for women. They teach that baptism and the Lord's Supper are sacramental, that they have a part in saving you. And these things are so clear in Scripture. One of the problems with Followers of the Way, because they're involved with David Burko, another false teacher. By the way, if you search David Burko Exposed, my testing comes up to warn other saints. They're very much rooted in the early church fathers, and those early church fathers eventually, within a few centuries, took the world towards Roman Catholicism with their lifting up local bishops, baby baptism, that Lord's Supper mysticism. And so, yeah, I wonder, Finney, why people don't have it right when it's so clear. That would include you guys. And they know about my testing. By the way, Matthew has communicated with me, but he lied, he was mean-spirited, he was a name-caller. Finney, Burko, Dean Taylor have all ignored giving me any answer to my testing. And it's out there, and many, many people have contacted me over the testing. And they won't give an answer, including Sattler College says they do not discriminate against sexual orientation, and no one will give a clean answer. Does that mean that they will enroll sodomites and lesbians? Maybe you can ask them that. They won't give me an answer. But let's get back to Finney Kuravilla.
Jesus says, what does it profit somebody if they gain the whole world but lose their own souls? And
all right, let's stop there. So he quotes the scripture. You know, Finney is the man who tells you that you should give away an extra tunic if you have one and live simple and almost meager and poor. Couple of problems. One, Finney doesn't even wear a tunic. The Bible teaches all over from Genesis 3 all the way through till when Christ comes back in Revelation 19. He's in a robe or a tunic. Finney wears very much business attire. And although they teach the women some semblance of head covering and biblical dress, although in their college they're adorned, head covered, unhead covered, immodest. Another topic for another time. So Finney doesn't even wear a tunic that he says you should give away, which the Bible teaches men should wear tunics. If he wants to go along with the early church, go look up what they wore, Mr. Finney. Yeah. But the bigger problem is, Finney will tell you to give away a tunic, extra tunic, and live meager and don't accumulate wealth on earth. Do you know what Mr. Finney does for a living? He runs something called the Eventide Fund. It's a $4 billion mutual fund. $4 billion with a B. I think it's bigger now. I've read where it might be $6 billion now, where he makes money for rich investors. Yet he's telling you to give away your extra toys, your extra tunic, to live meager. His college, by the way, it costs you $100,000 to get an education there. Huh. A bunch of hypocrisy going on here. But again, I cover those on the testing. This is about the gospel. So we're going to get to that. All right, here we go. Finney's going to say something interesting here about, I think it's minute 4:30.
He who hears and does these words of mine. And what are these words of mine? It's the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's the context of what he just spoke there. And when you think about what Jesus talked about there with anger and lust and divorcing marriage and swearing oaths and harming enemies, storing treasures on earth, all the different things.
Storing treasures on earth. Well, he mentioned divorce and remarriage. That's like their pet doctrine. Anytime when I've communicated with Matthew when he can't give an answer biblically, he beats you with divorce and remarriage if you had that in your pre-conversion past. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things become new. I have a whole article on that that refutes them. So they're wrong on divorce and remarriage. They destroy godly homes. But do you hear Finney? Not storing up earthly treasures. How does having a $4 billion, maybe a $6 billion hedge fund, how does that not qualify for storing up treasure on earth? Do you see the hypocrisy? By the way, Matthew wouldn't give an answer for that. He just hid and ignored it. Finney won't give an answer. Burkow and Dean Taylor won't give an answer. Pretty shameful. They can hide, but you know what? The truth is out there, and people know that about them because of my testing. And the truth is being made known. Let's keep listening. Okay, about minute 8:24 here, he says something, and I want to comment on it.
So I want to start with that, just to set the stage here, because I'm not going to be speaking about that part as much, but I do want to just let it be known that we are living in a period of insanity, spiritual insanity, where we're not thinking about just the most basic things, things that are black and white, so clear. And people are willing to jeopardize their soul. You know, Jesus said...
Yeah, amen. I agree with that 100%. And that's one of the problems I had with followers of the way, their apostle Matthew Miliani, teaching people that the gospel is not Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, that they don't preach Christ crucified for salvation. They very much are a Anabaptist-type body, teaching Sermon on the Mount values, baptism, the Lord's Supper, bread and the wine actually turns into something like the bread and the wine. Not full-blown Roman Catholicism, but something close to it. Mystical, sacramental, as I said. And yeah, Finney, I don't see why people can't get what is so clear and basic. If we see the progressive revelation of God's Word, after Jesus walked the earth, gave us the Sermon on the Mount, showed us God's kingdom, he chooses Paul in Acts 9 to be his emissary to go and preach the gospel. Paul says he was given the mystery, okay? And what is that ending up being? What did Paul preach? Well, I need to talk about this right here. They talk about the gospel of the kingdom all the time. It's used 5 times in the gospels. and it's important. The gospel of the kingdom was that Christ had come, showed us the way. The Apostle Paul, handpicked by Jesus Christ, trained, went off in Galatians, it tells us he went off for 3 years to be trained. He never once uses the term gospel of the kingdom. He uses the term gospel all the time, and it's always related to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In fact, in Timothy, Paul says, the gospel I proclaimed, which is Christ's resurrection. All right? And he never, again, he never uses gospel of the kingdom. He always preached Christ crucified as the gospel. So it's hard for me to believe that these people can't see the progressive revelation that we need to tell people that, yes, you have to be in the kingdom of God and keep the Sermon on the Mount values. How do you get in the kingdom of God? This is the big critical issue that we're going to be covering here. You get in the kingdom of God through the biblical gospel, which is faith in Christ, his shed blood, his resurrection, defeating of death, repentance, turning and changing your mind and your ways, being born from above by the Spirit of God. Holiness and obedience follow his fruit. That's fruit that you're even born of God. Without that, no one sees God, Hebrews tells us, without holiness. And you must endure in the faith. But they, up until this point, to my knowledge, have not preached the gospel like you're going to hear from Finney. And I'm going to read to you what Matthew told me about the gospel. And you'll see the confusion. Let's keep going. Okay, about minute 11:26, he says this.
Presence of God and bring glory to God. At some point, he said, I want the glory for myself. And he was cast from heaven. We saw those passages. And because Satan no longer wants God to receive glory and honor, he is doing his very best to promote ideas, theologies, systems, structures, groups that are going to undermine God's character.
And yes, I agree with that. And I fear that followers of the Way, Sattler College, are part of that. You know, Finney is linked to the Dank Kingdom Mean page. It's a vile page. You can see it on my testing. Wicked, vile, worldliness, corruption, Matthew Miliani. Matthew Miliani, his apostle, one of his apostles, so-called apostles, does a show called Talking in the Chasm, and his best friend is an Antichrist atheist, where him and this man talk about all types of topics. The Bible says we're to reject a mocker, an antichrist, a scoffer, an unbeliever. Yet Matthew sits and makes entertainment with him, laughs, calls him his best friend. And Finney is okay with this. David Burkow is okay with it. Dean Taylor is okay with it. So this is the undermining of God's character and nature. God's holy, and men like Matthew trample the blood of Christ. Going back to their gospel, until this sermon, I've never heard them preach Christ crucified, the blood for salvation. You'll see what Matthew believes when I read it to you. What Finney is saying today is something new to me. I haven't heard anybody repent and say, we had the gospel wrong, we got to get it right. Deception, confusion. There's another thing that undermines God's character. 1 Corinthians tells us God is not the author of confusion. So I agree, Finney, these groups out there, most of them, yours included, causing confusion, teaching people when you get baptized, you enter into the kingdom of God, teaching people partaking in the bread and the wine is something mystical, sacramental, teaching people to read the Apocrypha and early church fathers' writings. Finney, at his college, is always quoting Roman Catholics, mystics like Dallas Willard, New Agers. Oh yeah, Satan has developed groups to undermine the character and nature of God, and that's your group, Mr. Kervilia. You need to repent of it. We're going to keep going here. We're going to get to that gospel. Hold on. All right, Finney says something here about minute 12:42. Let's listen.
Last time I mentioned it again, one of the best tests to ask yourself is, if you were to honestly say, you don't have to answer this out loud, but in the quiet of your own heart, if you were to answer the question, what does God think of you? What does God think of you? Most people, when they answer that question, they think something like disappointed, or I let him down, something of that of that type. And they have this lingering sense that somehow God is just not excited about them, not passionately pursuing them. And
all right, let's stop right there. God is not passionately pursuing them. You know, the gospel is all about Christ coming, making a way for mankind, being the Lamb of God, and this is the big issue here. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Finney, when God looks at you, he sees sin. When he looks at me, he sees a sinful past, okay? We are sinful before this holy God, and this is the big problem with the gospel. We need Christ's shed blood to cover us, cleanse us, and forgive us, and this is the big problem. The gospel that they were preaching is live in the kingdom, do the Sermon on the Mount, get baptized, and God views you as good. No, God doesn't view us good at all. Jesus said no one's good except the Father. So this is a corrupt view. Now, can we be cleansed by Christ? 1 John says we'll be washed clean by the word and washed by his blood. Absolutely. Can we walk in righteousness? I teach that. Should we obey God's word? Absolutely. But Finney, God passionately pursuing you, God did one thing. He sent Christ to shed his blood. If you miss that via the biblical gospel, you miss the love of God. You miss God pursuing you. Okay? And he needs to go read 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, and 9. When he says, well, how does God think of you? And, you know, that people think God's mad and upset. Oh, yeah, he's mad. He's upset. He's coming back, 2 Thess 1, 8, and 9, with a flaming sword to destroy all those that do not know God or obey the gospel. Has not Finney read that? It is written. So Paul talks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. We need to be doing that. Now, can we have assurance? Yes. Can we have the hope of it? Yes. Do we have to endure? Of course. Do we have to strive? Jesus said so in Luke 13. So it's confusing how Finney says, oh, you should, you know, he's alluding to, you should feel good about how God feels about you, because he said earlier, people in the kingdom are striving. They're on their way to heaven. People out in the evangelical world, they're not, and they should know they're in trouble. Yet, Finney will link and be ecumenical with evangelicals and other people out in those world, in that world, where he goes to his college conferences. They bring in speakers to Sattler that are evangelical, linking to places like Calvin College. Yeah, that's what they do. So very, very confusing what goes on at Followers of the Way. And that's what I'm trying to show you here. We should be fearful about our standing with God. That's why we cling to Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And they're void of proclaiming and preaching that. And we're going to see that by Matthew's quote. We'll keep going. Okay, at about minute 14:17, Finney says this.
To do this, I have two diagrams, so I'm only going to give one today. We're going to walk through this. But I'm going to say first that the message today is geared really for those who are walking in sincerity with Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings, the full package of the New Testament.
All right, let's stop right there. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' teachings, and the full package of the New Testament. Well, that sounds great. I love the Sermon on the Mount, too, and I strive to keep it. But Followers of the Way undermines Apostle Paul, and you'll see by Matthew's words. And they don't seem to believe that Paul said in 1 Corinthians that I've been given the commandments of God. They always downplay Paul versus Jesus. And the problem I have with that is that Christ called Paul, Paul's Holy Spirit inspired. When Paul spoke, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit was speaking. Yet these people are always downplaying Apostle Paul, saying, no, we got to go back to Jesus' words. That's not true, because we have the finished revelation, the mystery. We have Christ crucified and risen in Paul's time of ministry. That's something that they avoid. Hey, I'm going to finish up part one here. We're going to go on to part two. Finney Kurvilla's assurance of salvation, part two, and the confusion of his gospel versus Matthew Milianis. Stay tuned.